As I said, I started a two-part sermon several weeks ago out of Revelation. So if you want to get your Bibles ready, we're going to go to Revelation. And if I remember right, I think it was titled Heavenly Living While on Earth. And I preached the first part about John. John is in prison. He's 95 years old. He's old. He's wearing down. He's sentenced to go. He's in this prison for life. He's not going to get out. He's going to die there. And he's worried about the churches because he's there for preaching the message of Jesus Christ. That's why he's in prison. He's in prison because he was preaching the good news and the gospel, and the Romans sentenced him to life in prison on this island. And he's probably not there with other nice guys. This is probably a very, very horrible prison. It's in a very horrible... I think of Alcatraz. When I think of a prison island, I think of Alcatraz. And if you've ever seen pictures of Alcatraz and how horrible that place is, that's pretty much where John is, for simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's there with rough, rugged, cruel, dirty, evil men. And his daily existence is basically living out his days on this prison and experiencing terrible, terrible things. And yet we read that first week how John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And we're going to revisit that and go back and revisit some of the stuff that we talked about that first week. But I want to show us today, because I think what John is showing us is that we can live our earthly, above our earthly circumstances, even out of our trials and tribulations on a higher plane, if we'll focus on God and the eternal things rather than the earthly things. But we're human, and we focus on the negative, don't we? We focus on the bad stuff around us, and sometimes that can consume us, and it's almost like a horse with blinders on that we don't see the big picture. We don't see the eternal because we're so consumed and focused on what's going on around us. And that was John's story, but John takes the blinders off. God takes John's blinders off, and he shows him an amazing thing that I want us to see today. And I think we need to start training our spirit to live in the spirit and above the earthly circumstances. We can do that. We can condition ourselves and we can start living eternally instead of earthly. If you remember, Jesus told the woman at the well, if we'll go back just a little bit to that story, when she came out to draw water and that whole story, we're not going to get into that, but Jesus tells her something profound when she says, you know, you Jews, you say we have to worship in Jerusalem and we're Samaritans and we just worship out here. And Jesus said there's a time coming, and it's already here, when we're going to worship God in spirit and truth. Don't have to worship in church. Worship doesn't just take place in here. I hope you realize that. Most of worship actually takes place outside of here. And Jesus shared with her, he said, the time is coming and is already here that you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Real worship is when we're worshiping God in our spirit. That's when real worship takes place. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing. I love singing. I love coming to church. I love giving. That's part of worship, is giving of your tithes and offering. There's joy in that, believe it or not, if you'll experience that. But real, true worship happens outside of here when we're living in God's Spirit and dwelling there. But the problem is, I think, one of the problems that we have is our perspective. What is perspective? Perspective is how we view things. Perspective is how we perceive things around us, and our upbringing and our experiences affect how our perspective is. If there were 10 of us up on Route 50, up here on 93 and Route 50, and there was a tragic wreck, a bad wreck with several accidents, several cars involved, and the police came and found out we were there, and they took police reports. If there was 10 of us seeing the same scene, and we all filled out a report, guess how many different stories there would be? 10 different stories. We'd all see the same thing, but we've all seen it from a different point of view. Would you agree with that? That's because of our perspective. If I set a glass of water up here, and it's right in the middle, some of you would say that glass is half full. Some of you would say the glass is half empty. It's all about our perspective. Perspective means so much. There was a college English professor, and she wrote on the board for her class, very first day of class, probably down at the either OU or over at, where'd you go to school, Bruce? Miami. She wrote this sentence on the board, and she had her class come up, and she wanted to put the punctuation. She told them, I'm going to write this sentence on the board. I want you to come up and punctuate this sentence how you think it should be punctuated. And the sentence was these six words: woman without her man is nothing. She wrote that, woman without her man is nothing. And she said, the boys first, I want you to come up and you're going to punctuate that sentence. Most of the boys, all the boys come up one by one and punctuated this way. Woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. She next had the women come up. She goes, the girls, you young ladies, you come up now one by one. You punctuate this sentence, how you read that sentence. Where should the punctuation be? And they punctuate it this way. Woman, comma, without her, comma, man is nothing. It's all about your perspective. How do you view things? How you see things is our perspective. There was a couple from New York City, lived in the city. They enjoyed living in a city, but they just needed to get away for a while. Anyone ever been there? Just got to get away. And they went for a drive out through the country, and they were enamored, and they were just enjoying the sights and the scenery and the farms and the rolling hills and the trees. And they just said, this is the most wonderful. It's a beautiful day, almost like today. And they're driving around. They come through this little burg. I call them little burgs when there's only two or three houses, a post office and a little gas station store. And they stopped. They said, let's stop and get us something, some snacks, and get us some gas. Tiny little town. And they walked in and they said, man, they said, this is, we're having a great day. You've got to be so blessed. What's it like living out here in the country? And the guy said, I don't know. We've lived in town all of our lives. Perspective. How do you view things and see the world around you? Dear Abby. I love Dear Abby. I don't know if she's even, they still print her stuff anymore. I don't know. Dear Abby had this person write to them. She says, Dear Abby, my son was married 6 months ago. He and his wife just had a 10-pound baby boy that they say is very premature. Is this possible? Signed, wondering. Dear Abby, love Dear Abby. She says, Dear wondering, the baby was on time. The wedding was very late. Our perspective shapes how we think and how we see things. It affects our thoughts and our actions. We either live our lives on earth as here now, or we can live our lives in the spirit and eternal and see the possibilities that God has for us. It's how you look at things. It's almost like negative and positive people, but it's our perspective. How do we view life around us? And I contend this morning that we can live our lives here and now in heaven. Even though we're going through hell in the middle of trials and tribulations, we can still, in God's spirit, enjoy what God has for us. I'm going to reread. We're going to go back to Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 9, if you've got your Bibles. And if you want to, flip a couple pages over and put your thumb in chapter 4, because we're going to jump from chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, because the rest of that chapter and part of chapter 2 and 3 are the actual letters that he writes to the churches. We're not going to read all those letters to the churches, but we're going to read about John. The first in verse 9 says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. That was my first sermon, if you remember from week 1. We talked about his suffering, because we all suffer. We talked about the kingdom and how we can live in the kingdom now, even in the situations that we find ourselves in. And we talked about patient endurance. There's a whole sermon there about patient endurance. But we talked about those three things, if you remember. If you're like me, you probably don't remember any of that. But that's what we talked about week 1. You're caught up now. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write these things on a scroll, what you see, and send it to the seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. I want you to note that. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a gold sash around his chest. Jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. And after this, after he had seen this, after he had seen the voice and he saw this man, Son of Man, that was in the middle dressed in a robe with a sash around his chest, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. a rainbow resembling emerald encircling the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne, seven lampstands were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, crystal, clear as crystal. Father, this morning we thank you for your word that you've given to us, that we can look at and we can read your love letter to us. Because God, that's what your word is. It's a love letter to us, how you love us, and you came to us to redeem us of the sins that we couldn't redeem ourselves from. Thank you, Father, for that. And this morning I just pray in these next few minutes that we can learn from John that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what prison we find ourselves in, Father, we can escape in the Spirit and worship you and enjoy heaven even in the most hellacious times that we find ourselves. We thank you, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, John is in prison in horrible situations, living there day to day. But on the Lord's day, he's in the Spirit. On the Lord's day, he takes time off from his daily chores, whatever that was in that terrible, terrible prison. And he's acknowledging God on that day. It is so critical that we acknowledge it, that we take time on the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. And we need to take time and just honor and worship him. But you know what? Every day is the Lord's day. Every day that he creates is a new day for us. And we need to worship and just honor him every single day of our lives, because every day is a gift. The older I get, the more I'm realizing that. Every single day is a gift, because I'm finding out that guys my age and younger are already gone because of heart attacks, cancer, strokes. A lot of guys my age or younger are debilitated because of their physical. And so I really every day thank God for every single day of my life, because it's a gift. I spend more and more time in nursing homes. My mom is permanently in a nursing home. In my job, I go visit our girls and guys that work in nursing homes. And it's not a pleasant place to be. And I realize I don't have any problems at all. I really, really don't. When I look around and I see what goes on around me, I don't have any problems at all. But on the Lord's day, he's in the Spirit. His conditions have not changed, but his perspective on life has changed. On the Lord's day, John put his situation behind him, and he's focusing on God. What is it meant to be in the Spirit? That's maybe where we need to start. What does it really mean to be in the Spirit of God? Some churches think that you've got to run around, jump pews, and speak in a foreign language that nobody else knows anything about. I don't agree with that. That's not, to me, in the Spirit. A lot of times it's a show. And I got brothers and sisters that go to churches, they speak in tongues, and that's fine if that's what's for them. I've never done that. Let me share with you what my perspective on living in God's Spirit means. I've been in worship services so powerful. And the older I get, the more I'm experiencing this. At our church, we've got a tremendous young kids that do a praise team, and the songs that they sing. And I used to be so in awe of them and their skills and their abilities. And I would sing those songs, and some of the worship songs you've probably heard. But anymore, I'm standing there, and I'm so caught up in some of the words that they sing that even though I'm going through the war, my help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, my strength. And I start just realizing who God is in my life. And I am so, I forget where I'm at. I forget that no one else is around me. And I'll just stand there and I hold my hands up. And the tears begin to flow because I'm thinking how God is in my life. That those words are so true. That there's times I've go through wars. There's times I've been through storms. But you know what? My help has always been on the way. And he's delivered me time and time and time again. And it's in those times I believe that I slip away from myself and I forget about all the things going on around me. I forget about earth. I forget about the people there in the church. And all I'm doing is worshiping God. It's me and him. You know what? That's in the Spirit. And then I come out of that and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's people. I'm here in church. Do you realize we can live in that time and moment? Whether it's in church. I've also experienced that on my farm. Believe it or not, in a cow's pasture field. I've experienced God's Spirit. Nature just amazes me. And anyone that says there's no God, I don't see how you can say that. When you look at nature and you see baby calves being born or baby doe or just nature itself, you step out at night and you see the stars and you think, my God created all of that. And there's times that I lose focus and I lose where I'm at and what's going on. And I just think, God, you are so amazing. You're in the spirit when you're experiencing that. And when you think that and you get your mind like that, you're in the spirit of God. Your spirit and his spirit is communing with one another. And John's experiencing that on this day of the Lord's day. Even though he's in prison, even though he knows he's dying, even though he doesn't know what's happened to the churches and he's worried about the churches, on that day he's focused on God, and that's all that matters. And I'm telling you, in your lives, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter the prison you find yourselves in, you can find yourself focused totally on God, and nothing else matters, even if it's for a little while. And God can reveal himself to you, and your spirit can commune with his spirit, and it is such good stuff that you want to stay there. But we're human, and we come back down to reality. But John is in the spirit on the Lord's day. And there's some interesting stuff that I want to notice here. First thing I think that's interesting in this passage is in verse 12 in chapter 1. He said, I turn to see the voice speaking to me. I see the voice speaking to me. How many of you have ever seen a voice speak? I hear voices, sometimes when no one's around. That's troublesome. We hear voices, but we never see voices. But John sees a voice. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ speaks to you, he's going to show you something. And he's about to show John something. He hears the voice. He sees the voice. Even though he's on Patmos, even though he's in prison, even though he's got all this junk and clutter and vulgarity around him, God's speaking and he sees the voice. He's going to show him some possibilities. If you're in the spirit, you'll see the possibilities. You won't see your circumstance around you. Our problem is we live in the earthly here and now, and we're so focused on what's going on that we don't see the possibilities God has for us. When we see the voice, we'll see God's possibilities. If you're living here on earth and you've got the eternal and your blinders on and the wrong perspective, all you're going to see is your problems and not the opportunities God has for you. So John sees the voice. It's going to reveal to him what he wants for his life and what he's going to want for our lives. God wants to reveal to us that he has a way. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. I love that song. I love that song because that's exactly who God is. He's a chain breaker. Sometimes all we see is the chains and what's holding us down, but we don't see that there's a guy that can break those chains. There's a guy that can make that way when we don't think there's any way. He's got the way, but we've got to see it. One person says, if you hear this past week, GM announced major layoffs. You probably saw that. And there were some prayer vigils. Some towns were having prayer vigils. I think that's wonderful. And I've talked to people that's been laid off. And you know, there's two different types of people that I've talked to when they lose their jobs. One of them says, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make the bills. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. And I've talked to another type of person that says, you know what? God's got something else for me. I don't know what it is, but God's going to have something else. You see the two perspectives there? One is already defeated and has no idea what's going to happen. The other one says, you know what? This could be an exciting time. God's got something for me. I don't know what it is. Yes, I've lost my job. Yes, I'm losing my income. But I know one thing. God's not going to let me go and he's not going to let me down. He's got something for me. Wow. Talk about perspective. Mary and Martha saw the voice of Jesus when he finally showed up. You remember that story? They had contacted Jesus. They sent someone. They said, Lazarus is really, really sick. He's dying. Jesus, you got to get here. Come here, please, quickly. We know the story. Jesus didn't come. He waited 4 days. Not 4 days, but we don't know. He waited a long time. And he finally gets there and he finally arrives. One sister's so mad she won't go out to see him. She's so hurt. She's so upset. The other sister goes out and the first thing she says to him is, if you'd been here, he'd still be alive. All the time, there's a reason for that. And they go, he said, take me to the grave. They said, Jesus, you don't understand. He's been in there 4 days. And what they were about to see was Jesus. They're going to see his voice when he yells and he says, Lazarus, come forth. He showed them what he was going to do. And you know the rest of the story. Another time the disciples are on the sea. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're crossing over from one side to the other. Jesus is so tired. He's so sleepy. He falls asleep in the stern of the boat. And this boat's going across the water. And all of a sudden a violent storm. You know the story. it gets so bad that the winds are howling, and they probably took the sails down because it's about to tip the boat over, and the waves are so high, and they're looking around saying, we're dying. We're going to die here. And they said, go get Jesus. Wake him up. What's going on? Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus gets up, and what's he tell them? Where is your faith? Oh, you of little faith. You're going to see me talk. You're going to see my voice. And Jesus gets on the edge of the boat, and I can almost see him standing up with his arms held out, and he tells the wind and the seas, he says, peace, be calm, you wind and you seas. And immediately, what happened? The wind stopped. They saw the winds die down. They saw the sea that was roaring and raging all of a sudden calm as glass. And they looked at each other and they said, what kind of man is this? We're not dealing with a regular man here. We're dealing with someone who's God. We've got to see the voice that God has for us. We just can't be so focused on our problems and so focused on our situation that we don't see what God, the answer that God has for us. The second thing that I want to point out, in chapter 4, verse 1, John sees a door standing open. What do you think of when you see a door? What are some thoughts that come to your mind when you see a door? Is it locked? Is it unlocked? What's on the other side? What do open doors mean to us? Open doors are opportunities. We first have to see them and then take an opportunity to go through them. In prison, your doors are closed. In prison, in your circumstances, the doors are locked. You cannot go through them. There's no way through them. I taught at prison for about 10 years. This has been years ago. The kids were small. And I taught at RCI. And I still remember going into that prison. And the first time I did it, I was literally scared to death. I thought, what did I get myself into? Because you go through several sets of doors. They put you through a metal detector. And then you go through another set of doors. And every time the door closes, it clangs and you hear it lock shut. It's a terrible feeling. It's an oppressive feeling. And John is on the island of Patmos. His doors are closed. In our prisons that we sometimes find ourselves in, our doors are closed. Our doors are locked. And we see no way out of it. But I'm telling you that in our situation, in every situation we have, there is an open door if we'll find it. Cindy found an open door yesterday when the car was towed for free. There was probably a time you thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? Where am I going to find the money for this? And all of a sudden a door opens up and your car gets towed for free. That just doesn't happen. God's preparing a way for us if we'll take the time and look for it. But we're focused on our problems and we're consumed within our prison that we don't see the open doors that God has for us. And I've always prayed on situations, things coming up. I say, God, if you don't want me to go here, shut that door. And the places that I need to go, open those doors. And you know what? I tell you what, if you pray those prayers, he will answer those prayers. And he'll open the doors that you need to go through. He'll shut doors where he doesn't want you to go through. I'm reminded of the man in Florida. There was a hurricane coming. The rains had started coming in. They were going to get 15, 16 inches of rain. And the police had come through. The fire department come through. And they said, you guys need to get out. You need to evacuate because it's going to be flooding. It's going to be terrible. You may lose your homes. You're going to lose your lives. Let's get out of here. And the man said, you know what? I'm going to trust in God. He's taken care of me all these years. I'm going to be okay. Come on, you got to get out. Nope, I'm going to be fine. Sure enough, the hurricane hit. The floodwater started rising. The army came through with their boats. The water was halfway up on the house. They come in and they said, sir, you've got to leave. You've got to get out of here. You're going to drown. You've got to get out of here. He said, nope, I'm trusting God. God's going to take care of me. I'm okay. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to weather this storm. Waters kept rising. The guy finally had to get up on top of the roof. The water's still rising up. They brought a helicopter in. The Coast Guard, and they bring a helicopter and they lower down. They're yelling at him, saying, get on the life raft, you're going to drown. He goes, I trust in God, I'm going to be okay. The guy drowned. He went to heaven. He said, God, what did you do? I was trusting in you. And God said, I sent the fire department, I sent the National Guard, and I sent the Coast Guard after you, and you didn't get through in the boat. That's our lives sometimes. God's sending us, he's opening doors, but we don't go through those doors and we don't see the open doors. And they're there and he's showing us them, but we don't take advantage of them. God has opened doors for us, but we don't see them if we're living in our earthly realm and not the heavenly realm. Peter saw the open door of the day of Pentecost. I went back and revisited this. I love this story. the day of Pentecost, and we focus on the what looked like tongues of fire that come down and lit up on that 120 that's in the room. The disciples were all together, and it's the day of Pentecost, and they've been waiting there patiently because Jesus told them to go and wait, and he would show up, the Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he lights on them, and they all start speaking in tongues, but it's in other languages. And the neat thing about that is that that day, there's countries from all over, there's people from all over different countries that speak different languages. And here are these ordinary men that are unschooled, untrained, just regular ignorant people like myself, speaking in their tongue and are thinking, what does this mean? I can hear exactly what they're saying. They're speaking my native language. All the different languages were hearing the gospel proclaimed. And they started making fun of them, saying that they've drunk on wine. And so Peter sees an open door and he steps out, and the Peter that always got it wrong, the Peter that always blew it, finally steps up and he says, you know what, let me explain something to you people. And he starts talking about how they crucified the Christ, the one who could save them. And this whole thing is not something that's just happened by circumstance, but this is the Holy Spirit coming because the Jesus that you crucified told us that he would die and rise again, and we are all witnesses to that. Peter preaches an amazing sermon, and 3,000 people are saved in one day because he saw a doorway that was open and thought, ah, there's an opportunity. Do you guys see opportunities in your lives from day to day? How many of you have blown it like I have, and the next day you think, oh my gosh, there was an opportunity. I had to do something, and I didn't do it. I missed that because I was living in the earthly. I wasn't living in the spirit. Didn't realize it. I had something that I could have done right there. I could have taken advantage of something and done something for the kingdom, and I messed it up. John sees an open door, and he goes through that open door. The next thing that we see, the third thing that I want to point out, John is looking, he's caught up into heaven, he's caught up out of that prison, he's no longer thinking about his circumstances, he's no longer living in that island, in that prison, but he's now dwelling in spirit in the throne room of God. Can you imagine that, going from a prison to the throne room of God? He says, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. Why is that important to know? Well, empty thrones bring problems. Empty thrones breeds anarchy, contempt. You're wondering who's in charge. During my years as a teacher, it's always been funny to me. When the principal's not in the building, every kid knows it. And they act differently. They just do. Maybe it's your work. I don't know if it's your situation. If the boss isn't around or the boss is out that day and there's no boss there, do workers act differently? Yeah. John is looking into heaven. He sees the throne room and he sees someone sitting on the throne. A filled throne means that everything is okay, that things are in order. The king is in the house. He is in charge, and he's still in rule, and still there's still rule and order. God's showing John that still in his condition, even though John's in prison, it's all right. You see, John was so worried about the churches. He's worried about if they're still in existence. Have they all been murdered? Because a lot of them had been killed. had been brutally murdered because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And God's showing him that, you know what, I'm on the throne, these seven lampstands there, that each has a spirit for each of the churches. What John didn't realize is that God wanted these churches to go out and spread among all the peoples. And they were staying in Jerusalem. So the only way to get them to get out and get out of their comfort zone, the persecution had to come. And once they were persecuted and started leaving, that message of Jesus Christ started spreading all over. It was in God's plan. And God is showing John that, hey, I am still on the throne. Things are okay. The churches are all right. And your circumstances are going to be okay because, John, in a little bit, you're going to be with me. I believe that God was showing John, when you get back to your earthly realm, when you go back to your earthly inhabitant and you start waking up and realizing where you're at, it's going to be okay because you know very, very soon you're going to be with me. Listen, the things that we go through here on earth are just temporary. God's got an eternity waiting for us. It's going to be amazing and better than anything we could ever even possibly imagine. And I can't even begin to describe it because it's so wonderful. But our problem is our perspective. We have to see that what we're in right now is only temporary, and we can live in the Spirit of God, in His Spirit, and dwell above that. It also means God is in control. In a chaotic world that seems out of control, God's still in control. Washington may be out of control. The world may be out of control. Wildfires in California may be out of control. There may be earthquakes in California all over the place. It seems like it's going to rock our world, and what's going to happen? Financial markets may collapse, but I want to tell you something. God is in control, and nothing scares Him. Nothing bothers Him. He is in control, and He's going to see us through those times. If we'll trust Him and live in His Spirit, it's going to be okay. But we cannot focus on those things that's going to rob us of our joy or rob us of living in the Spirit where He wants us to dwell. We can experience heavenly living here on earth, even if we're going through hell, if we'll live in His Spirit. And if we would learn to live in the Spirit, it's going to transform our lives. It will transform the way you think. It'll transform the way you live. Marla and I were in Cincinnati not long ago. We were... We'd gone down to see the Ark. Many of you have been down to see the Ark. It's amazing. We stayed overnight down in Cincinnati, and we went to Holiday Inn, I don't know, in Newport, Kentucky. We were in another country. But that next morning, we got up, and they have a nice continental breakfast and a nice buffet breakfast, and we were sitting there and just enjoying the day. It was a nice day, looking forward to driving down to the Ark. And I saw this elderly, he wasn't that old, he was probably 70-something, and he just he walked around, he'd eaten, and I looked up and I grinned at him and I just said, "How you doing?" And he starts coming towards us. And I thought, okay, what's this mean? Found out he went through, for about a half an hour, he went through his life story, and he was a Vietnam veteran, and he's about to lose his, he thinks he may lose his leg. And he was telling me all the experiences he'd had, and I just sit there and listen, and almost brought tears in my eyes thinking, here's this guy, a Vietnam veteran, and it just overcame me. I forgot where I was at. I forgot that anyone else is around, and I just said, "I want to pray for you." And I stood up in this Holiday Inn with people around, and I grabbed him by the shoulders, and I started praying for him. And at the end, I just said, "You know, I hope you have made a decision that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior." He says, "I have. I've been baptized." And then I realized that people were probably looking, thinking, "These people are nuts." But you know what? If we'll live by the Spirit, we'll see those opportunities, because people are hurting and they're crying out. It doesn't matter if you're at Walmart and there's a million people in there. It doesn't matter if you're in a parking lot. It doesn't matter if you're at a gas station. There are opportunities that God will show you that people need a hug, a prayer. But we're afraid of what people think about us. We're afraid of what people might think, that we're radical or that we're crazy. And yet I think, what would Jesus do? You see, we're called to be the church. We're called to be light. And we can either live in our earthly bodies and this earthly surrounding and be so focused on that day after day, minute by minute, that we don't see the opportunities around us. And I'm telling you, we can live in God's Spirit, even if just for a little while, and enjoy what God has for us. I've often thought of Ann Barber. Many of you know Ann Barber. Some of you probably don't know. She went here for years, died of cancer. In her last days, I would go to visit with her often. And she was in such pain, and she was in such agony. And there at the end, I didn't even recognize her. She became a skeleton with skin stretched over her. And yet I still remember, she says, "You know what? If someone gets saved through my suffering and pain, it's all worth it." If someone can come to Christ, if I can just share the gospel through my suffering and pain, through a nurse, a caregiver, through hospice care, this has been all worth it. You see, she was living in God's Spirit. She had left her temporal body for just a little bit. She had left that pain and suffering for just long enough to realize that, you know what, in the big scope of things, there's eternity, and I want to live there for a while until I do get there and live there forever. So this morning, I ask you, do you see God's voice in your lives? Not just hear it, but do you see the opportunities and possibilities that God has for each and every single one of us? If we would live in the Spirit, we'll see what God has when He speaks to us. Do you know God has open doors for you? So I don't know how this is going to turn out with your car, but I know one thing, it's going to be okay. I know it's going to, God's got it. There's going to be doors open. If we'll see and look at that, look through those doors and follow through those doors. Do you know that God is in control of every and all situations in your life today, tomorrow, and forever? But we've got to learn and condition ourselves to live in the Spirit. We've got to experience those times when nothing else around us matters. It's all about Him and focus on Him. I think of Pat in his situation and you going through that. There are times in your lives that we can focus on God and just be so consumed by Him that we live in the Spirit. And I so appreciate when I come and watch you sing and worship, you're worshiping and you're singing, you're praising God. You're living in that Spirit, even if just for here and now for a little while. And every single one of us can do that. Stand with me and bow your heads. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Wow, for so much. This season that we're coming into, this Advent season and the coming of your Son, Jesus, and what we've just talked about is only possible because He came. We wouldn't be able to live in the Spirit because there would be no Spirit yet. We can live out of our prisons and we don't have to focus on our prisons because of what Jesus Christ has done. And Father, we can think and dwell on eternity because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so, Father, this morning, I just pray that we would all learn more and more about how to change our perspective from the negative, from the earthly that we dwell in, to more of the heavenly, and start focusing on what you have for us, how good you are to us, how you love us and you care for us, and you've made a way, you've provided a way, you've broken chains. And God, that's what we need to dwell on and think about. And give you praise each and every day, just not Sundays. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs a new perspective, that needs to change the way they think, that needs to start seeing your voice, seeing open doors, going through open doors, and Father, just experiencing your kingship on the throne. Father, I pray that you would speak to them. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you sing, if you need to come forward for any reason, these altars are the best place to get problems solved. This is a lot of times the only place to get problems solved. You come as we sing. We'll pray with you. Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you that we can live in a world, we can live here, but we don't have to be part of it. And Father, I just pray for each and every person, every family represented here, every home, that Father, you would bless them. I pray a blessing upon them. And Father, during these next few weeks, that we'll just really, really, really realize the meaning of this season. That it doesn't matter if we get nothing for Christmas, we already have it all. It doesn't matter what gifts we get because we don't need any more gifts. What we need is more of you. And to realize that you are the most precious gift that came to us over 2,000 years ago. And now we can dwell in the heavenly realms because of what you did. And we can be forgiven of horrible things and remembered against us no more because of what you did on the cross. We thank you, thank you, thank you. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.